The watcher seemed to notice him then for the first time, dazed, as if he had just woken up. He raised his hands to take Terence and smiled upon the boy.
The rivers of time flow as they may. All possibilities exist at once and not at all. I see all possibilities, but not this one. I'm sorry. He will take you now.
Who?
Just then a blood-curdling cry issued from the rift, and from it flew a feathered dragon the likes of which Taran had never seen. Its feathers turned from the blue of the sky to brilliant silver.
Eden,
Taran answered himself.
Eden,
Lunara breathed, moving instinctively to guard Taran.
Does this end well in any of the futures you see?
Taran asked. He was as scared as he had ever been in his life, but showing it would get him nowhere. The adults were scared as well, which made it worse. Helsindar showed no fear, but anger. For all he knew, it was the truth. Perhaps his dwarven friend was truly not scared. If so, Taran was jealous of his strength.
Yes, one of them,
the watcher answered, smiling at him. The old elf regarded Helsindar strangely and laughed.
Oh, no, dear boy, you should not say that to Eden.
He waved a hand in the air, and the dwarf fell to the deck, snoring.
What do we do?
Lunara asked the watcher, as Eden soared toward them. The watcher did not respond, but stared into Taran's eyes. Taran panicked, but the old elf called to his mind, and his soft voice soothed all fears.
Trust in me, and you shall live, said the watcher.
Taran did trust him. He would trust in anything that would help him now. He felt a strange sensation of falling, and then being caught by warm, swift currents like hands ushering his soul. Vast, stretching fields of golden wheat and a sun bright and clear shone before him. Yellow streaks of golden light mingled, twirled, and danced with bright white, silver, and orange. Another flash of light followed by another, and yet another, until only streaking lights existed. In his mind, Taran flew through a field of fireflies and opened his eyes. Eden's dragon hawk splashed down amid a torrent of flying ocean spray. The wings, thick and muscled, extended twice the length of the boat. Its maw was wide and spear-toothed, so large that it could snap the boat in two easily. Eden stood from his saddle, high atop the floating dragon's back. Taran turned to the watcher, and, shocked, he saw himself standing there. His self offered him a wink, and Taran had to rub his eyes. Still, he did not believe it. He stared at himself and stumbled a bit, but was caught by Lunara. When he saw his own arm, he nearly screamed.
Do something, she said to Taran. We must try. It's impossible, but we must try,
she pleaded, staring into Taran's eyes, which were not his eyes, but the watcher's.
It's all right, said the watcher as Taran. The watcher and I have a plan. Please trust us.
Lunara looked to Taran in the watcher's body. Her eyes asked many questions, but she remained silent. Eden strode down the long scales of his dragon hawk as if down the stairs of his highest tower. Taran would have trembled had he not been in someone else's body. The two guards moved to intercept Eden as he stepped on the boat's rail, but from each side of the ship came serpents of water that wrapped themselves around the elves and yanked them off the deck and into the depths below. Eden walked onto the boat as if nothing had happened. He stopped when he saw the watcher.
You?
He laughed.
I had not thought you alive after all these years.
Taran didn't know what to say. What if he gave away the ruse? A power emanated from Eden, and, though unseen, it was surely felt, the way that a furious person darkens an entire room without word or gesture. He had the air of a thunderhead about him, and a silent hurricane was in his gaze.
I must amuse the gods.
Taran heard the watcher's voice and spoke the words, but not on his own accord. It seemed that the watcher had left some of himself inside his body.
Indeed you must.
Eden squared on him. He felt the watcher take control of his eyes. To Taran's relief, he did not raise them to meet Eden's, but settled upon the dark elf's chin.
"Do you still practice the way of the Marenka?"
Eden asked.
"I do."
Eden eyed him up and down, and Taran felt the silent battle between the two elves. Eden probing the Watcher's mind, and the old elf diverting Eden's attention and leading him through circles of thought and imagery. When Eden attacked more forcefully, the Watcher flooded his mind with the purest love that he could summon. Taran was bathed in peace and love and the feeling of home, of friends and laughter and family. Eden recoiled from the intensity of the Watcher's love for him with a pained expression.
"I would show you the way to peace, if you would only ask."
Eden seemed at first furious, but soon he gained control of himself. Taran thought that he would be struck down on the spot. The Watcher had pushed him too far. Eden had recoiled from the light he was shown as if burned by fire.
"I am afraid that I never mastered your school, but I find it fascinating,"
said Eden with a mirthless grin. He turned his attention to Lunara, and Taran recognized the hungry eyes that men used to give his sisters back home.
"She has nothing to offer you,"
said the Watcher.
"Nor do any of us. It's the boy you want."